Morning, church.
Oh,
I'm very loud. Thanks, team. For those who don't know me, my name's Shania. I've been coming to this church for about 5 years now. I work in the office here, and I think it was about 7 months ago, actually, Russell asked me if I'd like to preach, and I said, yeah, when? And so today's the day. So I work with a lot of teenagers. I run the youth group, so there's always teenagers running around. All my siblings are teenagers at the moment, and let me tell you, they're crazy, but they are amazing to work with. So as someone who spends a lot of time with teenagers, I have this list of questions in my mind that I can ask them because it's very difficult to get teenagers to have a very good conversation with you. So I have this list of questions in my mind of what I can ask them. And the most common one that I have to say I ask is, what do you want to do when you leave school? We all ask those questions, right? But I'm here to talk to you about the answers that I get to that question. So some people say they want to work in retail. Some people say they want to be a barista. Some people want to become a doctor. Some want to be famous. Some want to be an influencer on Instagram, whatever that is. Some want to be rich. But what I find really sad is that the majority of people that I ask, their answer is that they want to be rich and famous. It's something that I find that our young people are focused on, something that they want, and something that they're striving for, is that they want to be rich and famous. Young people in our lives are infatuated with the chase for wealth and the chase for fame. And it seems that the whole world out there is on that chase as well. You see greater buildings being built. Everything is more expensive. House prices are rising. I don't even know if I'll ever get in the house market with the rate of the prices. But I want to have more meaning in my life than just money. I want to have a life of significance, and I want to do something that counts for more than just how much money I have in my bank account. I want my life to count for something, and here's something else as well. I also want your guys' life to count for something. I want to have a life of significance, and I want you guys to have a life of significance. What's amazing is that the Bible has a path. I don't actually have my Bible here with me today because I left it in my car. Oh, thank you. The Bible, it has a path to significance that's clearly marked from cover to cover, should we choose to follow it. It's a path that will help you grow spiritually, and it is a path that will help you to live a life more significant than the world, more significant than the chase for wealth, more significant than the chase for fame. Jesus taught that our significance is not tied to wealth, it is not tied to fame, that if we want a life of significance, then he can help us live a life of significance. He can help us to live a meaningful life. Are you ready for the answer? The answer is to serve. Plain and simple, Jesus says to go out and serve. The route to spiritual growth, the route to a life of significance is serving. So what is serving? Serving, a quantity of food suitable for or served to one person. I don't think that's what I meant to. Probably sent the wrong slide to Graham. Graham, there we go. Serving is to perform duties or services for another person or an organization. Right? I don't know what happened to the food one, but that's not me. Anyway, Jesus served. He was always helping others. We just have to open the Bible, in the New Testament, of course. Open the Bible and we can see that Jesus spent his time helping others. He spent his time healing people. He spent time with others. He was constantly putting his needs above himself. He was focused on other people's agenda. Now, Jesus also taught about serving. We go to the next slide. There we go. If you have your Bibles with you, you can open it. Do you want your Bible back, Ruth? There we go. Thank you. Mark 9:33-35. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What are you arguing about? What are you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." So Jesus' followers, the people that have been chosen to follow him, to listen to what he's teaching about and to do what he's doing, they're arguing like a child. "I'm the best. No, I'm the best. I am the greatest." On and on and on, they were arguing about who was the greatest. And Jesus is calmly, he sits them down and he says, "Whoever wants to be the first," or in some other translation it says, "whoever wants to be the greatest, they must become a servant and serve." It's plain and simple there in the Bible, guys. Imagine if Jesus had asked these young people what they wanted to do when they grew up, and they told him that they wanted to be rich and famous. What do you think he would have said to them? "Try again, buddy. That's not how to live a significant life. Be a servant. I want you to serve, not to strive for wealth, not to strive for fame." And how countercultural is that? Our world is aiming for to gain more money. The more money we have, the better we are. This is what the world's telling us. But Jesus wants us to live a significant life, and to do that, he wants us to serve. So Jesus used parables and stories. I love Jesus' parables. They are so straightforward and simple. Some of them seem a bit more confusing, but that's okay. This one is very simple. So it's a Good Samaritan. We've all heard of it before, I'm sure. It's in Luke 10:30. So I'm going to skip some verses in between, but you guys can read them later if you want. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Which of these was a good neighbor? I think there's another slide with those. Which of these was a good neighbor? The one who had mercy on him, Jesus said. Go and do likewise. How much clear instructions do we need? It's straight up there in black and white. The one who had mercy on him, Jesus said, go and do likewise. Serving is simply seeing a need and then meeting that need. That's simply what serving is. That Samaritan saw a need and he met that need. Now, the most important thing is that Jesus not only served others, he not only had mercy on others, but instead he made serving his life. The reason he existed was to be a servant. So in John 13:3-15, it says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. He poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you." Just imagine that. A respected leader, a rabbi, God in the flesh washing his disciples' feet. Now, not only would I not be happy washing anyone's feet today, I would most definitely not be happy washing anyone's feet 2,000 years ago. We have covered shoes. We have nice sidewalks. We don't have animals wandering on the streets messing it up. But 2,000 years ago, they did. I would not be happy washing anyone's feet. Yet Jesus used this as the example of serving. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now, when I was reading this, I was thinking, Jesus, could you not just have opened the doors for the disciples? Could you not have just given them money? Could you not even have combed their hair? I mean, that would have been much nicer. I'm happy combing someone's hair. But why wash feet? Why did Jesus decide to wash his disciples' feet? Because how easy is it to open a door for someone? How easy is it to give money to someone who needs it? How easy is it to even comb someone else's hair? Washing someone's feet is big. It's an act, a statement. It's more than just the little surface things. It's thinking outside of what we are comfortable with and thinking about the other person or another group and thinking more like Jesus. I'm not saying opening doors is bad. I'm saying that Jesus made a statement. He did something big. So why is serving so hard? We all serve in some capacity, I'm sure. This church is very serving. But why is serving hard? Why is it easier to do something simple, like donate to a charity, than it is to serve face to face? Now, when I'm talking about serving, it's more than just doing dishes after church. It's more than just donating. It's more than that. Serving's so hard because it's convenient for me to be served by others than to serve. It's so much nicer when someone serves you, when someone goes and makes you a cup of tea or coffee and they bring it to you. It's so much nicer. It really is. But serving's not just about ticking off our hours in the week saying, yes, I've done this, yes, I've done that. Yes, I've served for an hour this week. Oh, I must be going to heaven. This is great. It's more than that. It's more than saying, yes, we've donated $50 to this charity and $50 to this charity. It is more than that. It's about becoming a servant. It's becoming more and more Christ-like. It's about changing who we are to grow spiritually and to obey what God is telling us. If we end the day in the same way that we started it, then we haven't changed throughout that day. I must choose obedience over convenience. Here we go. First point. It's easy to live a convenient life. It's easy to live in a little bubble and to say, yes, I'm in there throwing out money to whatever charity we want to donate to. It's easy to give someone a cup of tea and say, here you go, I've served you, I've done my serving quota for the day. But if you want serving to be who you are, if you want to become a servant, then you can't afford to choose convenience over obedience. You just can't. A lot of people want all the perks of being a Christian, and I have to say I'm the same, although I try not to. I'm just being honest here. They want all the answered prayers. They want forgiveness. They want eternal life. They want all the good gifts that God promises us. But they don't think about what the cost is. They don't think about what they can give in return. So if we look at the two examples on the screen, Matthew 4, you guys can read in your Bibles now or later. It's when Jesus is calling his disciples. Now, what I think is really interesting is if you look up there, it says, "Come, follow me," Jesus said. And at once they left their nets and followed him. And again, Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. They didn't hesitate. Jesus said, "Follow me, live a life doing what I'm doing, live a life following a rabbi." They didn't think about what it meant. They didn't think about how convenient it would be for them to just live their life, to follow in their family's business. Instead, they followed at once and immediately. I don't know about you guys, but that's the kind of attitude I want. I want to be able to listen and follow exactly what God tells us to do. Awesome. I don't want to just live in my little comfort bubble and throw things out there and say, "Yes, I have done my serving quota. Yes, I have been good. Yes, I've followed what God's doing," and not step outside of my little bubble. I want to become more Christ-like so that when Jesus calls me to do something, I don't hesitate and say, "Oh, maybe tomorrow. Oh, maybe after I do this. Oh, maybe not right now. Can you tell me again in a year's time?" I don't want to do that. I want to follow at once and immediately. I want to become someone who not only hears what God is saying, but does what God is saying. And the way we need to do that is to look outside of our convenience, to look outside of our little comfort bubble, and to actually step out and do something. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect. By no means am I perfect at this. It is so much easier to choose convenience over obedience. I would much rather sit at home and binge watch on Netflix than to go out and talk to strangers about God. Let me tell you, it's so much easier just sit under my little blanket with my dog beside me than it is to actually go out there and do something for God. But I need to look outside of what's convenient to me, what's easy, and I need to listen. Inside of our little convenient and comfort bubble, nothing changes. I'm still the same person that I woke up as I went to sleep. But when we step outside of that, that's where God can change us. That's where we become better people. That's where we go from living the old Shania life to living the new Shania life, or the Ruth life, or the Simone life, or whoever's life you are, and living that life for God. It's so much better for us spiritually to step outside of that. God can begin to shape us and change our life once we choose to step over that line, once we choose to take a giant leap towards him. But for that to happen, I need to look for opportunities to serve. God tells us to serve. There's no point saying, "Yes, I'm going to step outside of my comfort bubble. Now what? Cool, God, I'm here. What do I need to do?" Sometimes God throws things at us to do, but other times he's asking us to actually look. He presents it right in front of us, and sometimes we completely miss the opportunity. Some of you might be thinking, "I'm going to ask you guys to look for a place to serve in the church, that you should serve in all of these areas." One of our posters has fallen. Huh. Look, to serve somewhere in the church, to go and be on the inclusion team, to go and serve in children's ministry, to go serve on worship, which is a poster that's fallen. And I'm asking you to do that, but I'm also asking you to do simple little things, okay? It is great to serve on inclusion. It is great to serve in children's ministry. It is great to serve in the worship teams. But let me tell you, that's not for everyone. I'm definitely not a worship-minded person. If you got me up here, this church would probably be empty because I don't have a great singing voice. God's going to meet the needs of this church. But who's going to help the world see God? Who's going to bring God into that world? God's going to meet the needs of this church, but it's only you who can change, who can open your heart to God, to allow God to work inside of you. I care about your guys' heart and your guys' attitude towards God. For those of you who want to be Christ followers, who are Christ followers, to accelerate your spiritual growth, to become more Christ-like, you have got to serve. It's just plain and simple, black and white. Open your Bible, it is there. It's got to be more than just saying, yes, I've served my serving quota for the day. You have got to become a servant yourself. You need to get off these seats and actually get into the game of God. Some of you may think, well, I give more than my 10% quota to the tithing for this church. I must be really good. I must be really holy. I must be top of God's list to get into heaven. Or you think, oh, yeah, I'm a mum. I'm serving all the time anyway. Isn't that enough? But I'm talking about more than just the stuff you do out of obligation. I'm talking about the stuff that you do out of obedience. When you look around in your everyday life, can you recognize a need? And can you meet it? It's a simple equation to live a life of significance. See a need, meet it. Obey what God is saying to us. When you serve out of obedience, nothing is too insignificant. There's a pretty famous verse. Most people have read it or at least have been told it in some capacity. Matthew 10:42. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. If anyone gives even a cup of cold water. That's not something big like washing feet. That's something little as well. Jesus not only demonstrates the big, huge, significant things, but he also demonstrated the little, insignificant seeming things. Does your lifestyle reveal that you serve from obedience, or does it reveal that you serve from obligation? Do you feel that you need to serve because you should? Do you feel you need to serve because of whatever it is? Or are you serving because you are a Christ follower? You're someone who believes in Christ, that you're following him, listening to what he's saying. So I've started making a list. Now my list has at the top it says, I could have. Now it seems pretty simple, I could have. It is a list of opportunities where I could have served. It's something simple like, where's my list? Sorry guys, I lost my list. It's something simple like, I could have opened that door for that person. I could have given change to that person that needed it at the supermarket. I could have made dinner for someone this week and given it to them. I could have. Whatever that is in your life, I'm sure that you could make a could have list as well. It's harder to say, I'm going to become a servant, let's do it. The easiest way to start is one thing at a time, one day at a time. I've been trying to serve one time a day in a little way. Serving doesn't require recognition. I'm not going to get up here and say, name everyone who served in this church. That's not serving. You don't expect that. I want you to go out there and make a I could have list this week. I could have served in this way. I could have given that. I could have helped that person. When you start noticing all the little ways that you can serve, you start noticing bigger things that you can serve. You start noticing the people who need a hug. You start noticing the people who need prayer. You start noticing the people who are missing something in their life, and that something is God. And it's okay to miss it. Like I said, I've started a list of I could haves, and I am not perfect. There are definitely things on that list that I can definitely do, like opening a door for someone. How simple is that? Start serving one time a day for this week. How simple. Open the door for one person every day this week. Then next week, two times a day. Then three times. Before you know it, you are going to live a life that is serving, not out of obligation, but out of obedience. As followers of Christ, listening to what God is saying. How many of you think that you can serve one person each day this week? Yeah? It's so simple. It's so simple, one person. It can be something as simple as saying, I'm praying for you. How are you doing? Actually being there for a person is just as much as serving as being a teacher in children's ministry. I want to challenge you guys. I want you guys to serve one person every day this week without an expectation of reward, without an expectation of anything, except to obey what God is saying, to become a servant. Can you open a door for someone this week? Could be a literal door, and it could be a spiritual door. But as a church, we need to do this together. Have people to keep you accountable. Everyone here, I'm sure, knows at least one other person in this room. You can find one other person to say, yes, I have served this day. Have you? Yes, I've introduced God to one person this week. Have you? Keeping each other accountable is just as important as serving. From obligation to lifestyle, serving, I must choose to be obedient over being convenient. I need to step outside of my little bubble. I need to cross that line and move over towards where God is. And in order for that to happen, I also need to look. I need to actually look around me and see where I can do that. God's not always just going to throw everything at you. Sometimes he does. He definitely does. But we need to look around us as well. We shouldn't be blinded by our own desires, our own life, whatever we are doing. We need to look towards God and say, what do you want me to do today? We are a very serving church here. There are so many of you that serve in some capacity. And I'm not asking you guys to change that, and I'm not asking you to do more. I'm saying that we can move from obligation to becoming servant-like people, becoming Christ-like people. We can do this, and we can do it together. We can show the world that we are different from them. People are going to ask, oh, why did you do that? There is your opportunity to introduce them to God. God told me to do this. God told me to be a servant. Here I am. Where are you going to look for the opportunity to serve this week? How are you going to step outside of your comfort bubble? Even if you have to get someone else to push you outside of that bubble, that is okay. But you guys need to do it. And we need to do this together. Can I pray for you guys? Yeah. I know, it's a pretty stupid question, Ruth. I want to pray for you guys. Pray that you guys are going to actually step outside that comfort bubble, that a door is going to open, that opportunities are going to come to you every day. Lord, you're a good, good God. You know our hearts and you know our desires. What's even more amazing is that you have gone before us. You know what's going to come in front of us. Lord, I pray that every opportunity that you put in front of us, we will not look at it as something too insignificant. We won't be searching for something bigger. But instead, Lord, I pray that you will change our hearts and give us opportunities to serve you even more this week. Lord, I pray that we'll be able to recognize that little one that needs a cup of cold water, that we won't brush over them. Lord, I pray that we won't be so consumed this week with our life that we'll forget to look towards you for guidance. Lord, I thank you for all that we currently do. And Lord, I pray that in this coming week we will become more and more like your servant, become more and more like Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray this in your name. Amen.